pretty exciting times over there in Seattle, I reckon, because they're a big sports town. So too, our man Dick Fain, he's the doyen of sports reporters there. But Seattle are getting an NHL side, a National Hockey League team. Hello, Dick.
Hey, guys. Yeah, big morning for us. I was already up and at them early this morning. We did a two-hour show from one of our local establishments downtown, and kind of our headquarters as we watched the announcement from Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner. They were at their Board of Governors meeting meetings in Georgia. So we did a couple-hour show kind of surrounding that meeting there, and the announcement, as we all expected, unanimous approval by the National Hockey League owners that Seattle will be the 32nd franchise in the National Hockey League. So 3 years from now, we'll be playing hockey here in Seattle.
How long have Seattle been lobbying for a team, mate?
I think it's been off and on ever since the plan was unveiled to redo the arena, because you know, that's the whole reason we lost the NBA in the first place. Seattle has a rich 41-year history in the NBA and lost it 10 years ago because our arena fell into disrepair. And until there were legitimate plans to repair and completely demolish and rebuild the arena, everything was put on hold. Not only an NHL expansion team was put on hold, but the return of the NBA was put on hold. And now we have that arena. They're going to break ground actually tomorrow. The first shovel goes into the dirt tomorrow in the renovation of this arena, and so that's kind of when it started. And we've got a great group of owners led by a local billionaire, David Bonderman, along with a guy that you're probably familiar with, Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah, yeah.
Famous for all of his great Hollywood productions,
yeah,
including the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. He's part of the ownership group as well. So. A well-funded ownership group who not only paid the expansion fee, but is also paying out of their pocket the arena. They are putting in almost $1.5 billion into this investment.
Wow, that's a massive amount of money. Hey, Dick, we've just got a SMS come through from one of our listeners. Morning, boys. When you speak to Dick today, can you please ask him, how does the wild card system work in the NFL? Yeah, in the NFL.
Yeah, so... six teams in each conference make the playoffs. There are four divisional champions in each playoff, or in each conference, rather, that are seeded 1 through 4 based upon their record. And then everybody else fights it out for the final spot. And the final two spots, usually 10 wins get you in. And that looks like it's going to be the case again this year, that 10 wins is going to be safe to get whatever team into the playoffs. Our Seahawks are obviously one of those teams that have kind of caught fire in the last few weeks. It looks like they're going to get to that 10-win mark. But there's a set of tiebreakers. For example, if you know, if there's a team at 10-6 and they earn the 5 seed, and then there's a couple of teams at 9-7 that fight for the 6 seed. Head-to-head, obviously, is the first tiebreaker. If one team beats the other, they would have preferential treatment. If they hadn't played each other this season, then they go by a conference record to determine who that tiebreaker in that final season is.
And a couple of the heavyweights, the Saints and the Steelers, are they starting to find some problems?
Yeah, the Saints and the Steelers, and also the Kansas City Chiefs as well. I think it's just a blip on the radar for the Saints, personally. I still have them as my favorite to win it all and my favorite to win the NFC. But they had a bad game. I mean, it happens to everybody. They had a bad offensive game on Thursday night. They played in Dallas. Dallas played a very spirited game. I think Dallas realized it was kind of a do-or-die type situation for them. They needed to get that win to get to 6-6 on the season. If they lost, they were really going to be on the outside looking into a potential playoff spot. So they were a hungrier team, and they showed it. I think the Saints are going to bounce right back. As for the Chiefs, though, they had a situation with their running back, Kareem Hunt, one of the more electric players in the NFL, that was seen punching and kicking a woman.
Yeah.
He has been immediately kicked off the Chiefs football team, and he has not been picked up by anybody else yet. Kind of shades of the Ray Rice situation a few years back, where if you remember, he was seen punching a woman in a security camera outside of an elevator.
Mm.
He never saw the light of day in the NFL again. I kind of feel that Kareem Hunt's a little bit different situation because he's about 6 years younger than Ray Rice. He's got a lot of tread left on the tires. So I think he will eventually be picked up by somebody, but he probably will sit out the rest of this season. But, you know, that's going to hurt the Chiefs a little bit. And the Chiefs, you know, were my favorite in the AFC. And right now, it's the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Chargers and the Patriots. Kind of a four-headed monster right there on who's going to come out of the AFC. I think we're going to have a real nice battle in the AFC on our hands. But I think that brings the Chiefs probably down to that level of Patriots and Steelers and Chargers, where I thought the Chiefs with Kareem Hunt were probably the cream of the crop in that conference.
Dick, there's another question here from one of our listeners and viewers. Joe says, why does the NFL persist with the boring kickoff where they just allow the teams to kick it dead, earning an ambling 70-yard downfield for no reason? Cheers, Joe. We tend to change our rules if, you know, coaches try to exploit them too much and things become boring. What's your view?
Well, they're certainly going that direction. They're going the direction of taking the kickoff out of the game, because it is the most dangerous play in all of football, because you have all those guys running down full speed trying to take the head off of the return man.
Right.
And so what they've done is they've moved the kickoff up so they could potentially have more touchbacks. But all that has done is that's allowed the kickers to kind of pooch the ball up in the air and make sure that the ball doesn't go into the end zone, because they're 5 yards closer to make the tackle. So it's kind of backfired a little bit
right
on the NFL. Now, we did have a kickoff return by Tyler Lockett in the Seahawks game of about 85 yards, almost took it back for a touchdown to start the second half. So occasionally you do still see a very exciting play in the kickoff, but we're certainly going towards that direction of eliminating the kickoffs. And it may happen over the next 5 or 10 years.
Dick, we thank you so much for your time. I know it's been a great day for Seattle by winning that franchise in the National Hockey League, and look forward to talking about it in the coming weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.